We are in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel. Okay? Hu Haya Omer. Who is the who that we're talking about? Ben Azai. Am I right? Yes, Ben Azai. Okay? Hu Haya Omer. He also used to say this. Al Dehi Baz Lechol Adam. Do not be disdainful of any person. I think I heard from one of you. It might have been Sima Shulman, but I don't remember. That buzz is like a synonym for, like, you know, when you say buzz off, right? It's like buzz, like, you know, you're like that. So don't buzz off any person. Va'al tehi mafleeg l'chol davar. And do not dismiss anything. Why not? She'in lecha adam she'in lo sha'a. For there is no man who does not have his hour. Ve'in lecha davar she'in lo makom. And there is no thing that does not have its place. Okay, so my question to you, I'm going to read it one more time. I want you to think about it as I read it one more time. What is the tone with which this Mishnah is written? Okay? If you were going to describe this Mishnah by a certain adjective or a certain tone that it takes, what's the tone of the Mishnah? Okay? Al tehi baz l'chol adam. Do not disdain any person. Al tehi mafleeg l'chol davar. And do not dismiss anything. She'in lech adam, she'in lo sha'av. For there is no man without his hour. Ve'in lech adavar, she'in lo makom. And there is no thing that does not have its place. What's the tone of it? Hi, Yasmin.
What's your question?
What is the tone of, I wish I had, you could say the tone is sarcastic. Or the tone is, you know, whatever. Yeah, what's the tone of this Mishnah? Like, what's the, or
you know, like reprimanding. Like, when I hear it, I almost imagine someone, like, shaking their finger and saying, like, don't do this because it's something that I observed that you did.
Ah, interesting. Okay, good. So, Bracha, you're saying it almost is reprimanding you from doing something that it seems like you are maybe in the midst of doing.
Right. Yeah, or have done in the past.
Or have done. Okay. It assumes that you're going to be on the receiving end of this reprimand. Good. Interesting. Right. Does anyone disagree with Bracha? Did anyone hear anything else in this Mishnah? Does everyone yes agree with Bracha? Or everyone's unsure what it is that I'm asking.
I don't get your question.
Yeah, question. This is one of my leading questions where I want you to answer something, but I don't want to give you examples of what I want you to answer because then you're going to answer those, you know? So I really should have thought of some examples beforehand.
Maybe come up with a different thing that has a tone. I don't know what you mean by its tone.
Okay, well, this is actually interesting. Meaning, Bracha gave an interesting answer to the question, right? That's one of the things that I was looking for, which is it feels like I'm being told off, right? It feels like it's telling me something that I'm doing wrong. Did anyone feel a different thing? My assumption is that Aviyah felt something different, which is why it's her favorite Mishnah. She didn't feel like it's reprimanding her. She felt like, what? Carrie, you don't have to answer that sentence. What were you going to say?
No, I don't feel like it's, I mean, I guess it's the whole, like, everything in Pirkei Avos is, like, Musar and, like, telling us what to do, right? But, like, I feel like it's just, like, this is like human nature to do it, and everything's in the negative. Like, it is assuming that that's what you're gonna do, but it's not like, I don't know. I feel like putting it in the negative makes a point, not like, oh, like it makes it a further point of like who you're not leaving out, like everything. I'm not making any sense. I'm tired.
It sounds like you're saying, like, you get it. Maybe it sounds like it's in the negative. Maybe it sounds reprimanding because it's in the negative, but it just doesn't actually seem that harsh to you. Like, maybe it's just, it's instructing you, but that doesn't mean that it's negative. It's a negative message.
Yeah. And I feel like it makes it more clear that you're talking that every, like, if it says, like, let's say, like, the opposite, like, be good to everyone and, like, give everyone their, like, time and space, because everything has a place, I feel like it's easier to go to, like, use that as a proof for, like, people who you think are worthy. But it's like, like the fact that it's saying, like, there's nothing that doesn't have a time and place and, like, has value, it feels more, like, broad, not broad, like, more inclusive.
Right. Awesome. So you're saying that, like, phrasing it in the negative could be for practical purposes, because phrasing it in the positive, right? This, very famously, you know, the golden rule in Judaism is phrased to the negative, right? Don't do unto others what you don't want them to do unto you, versus do to others what you want them to do to you, right? And again, it's just more inclusive. It ends up being a better instruction to phrase in the negative. Good. So this is what I think, again, I was fishing, as much as I picked up, right? I was fishing to see if anyone would say that this is, like, it's a very inspirational message. Right?
I'm going to say that.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. See, thank you, Bacheva. Thank you for saying
it
that.
It reminded me of, you know that song, song, like, the...
Yeah, sorry. Go.
You know that song, like, the, like, artist and the painting or whatever? I was just painting with my little sister before, so I was, like, thinking about that, how, like, it sounds like they took the message from that song, the song from that.
I don't know if I know what you're referring to, so post it in the chat, because I will totally, or just send it to me, and I'll be like, oh, that's what you were saying. Exactly, right?
It's an Ari Goldwag song.
Oh, it's an Ari Goldwag. Oh, I'm sure then I know it, because my son plays that on his REA's favorite playlist.
You probably do.
Yeah. And if I don't, then I'm about to hear it all the time if I ever let him listen to it. Yeah, exactly. So, good. So, I think that the tension here in this Mishnah is exactly, you know, this question. Is it an inspirational message that you're going to put on your wall because it's, like, beautiful and Aviah's favorite Mishnah? Or is it, like, reprimanding and telling you off for something and, like, more of a, you know, reprimanding is a good word for it, kind of message, okay? So as, let me read you Rabbeinu Yonah, very short, and you tell me which tone he takes, okay? Here we go, Rabbeinu Yonah. Hu haya omer, alti baz l'chol adam v'alti maflik l'chol davar. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Shelo tivze shum adam." You should not dismiss anybody. Afilu la nikla, even someone who's, like, contemptible, right? Even someone who is really not a great person. Va'al tafli li dvarcha lomar, and don't dismiss your words to say, rachok hu shayucha lavoi lai hezek umichshol b'dibur zeh. So the first important thing that Rabbeinu Yonah does, he says, davar, we should not translate as a thing. We should translate a davar as a dibur, as something to say. Don't dismiss your own words, because you never know when they might come back and bite you, to use the idiomatic terminology that we say nowadays, okay? Don't dismiss your words, because they might come back and bite you. People, he just said, don't dismiss them even if they're pretty bad, but he hasn't given us a reason yet, but let's go on. She'in lecha adam, she'in lo sha'a, acha she'yucha lahazik u lahoil, ima'at im harbe. You know, every person can either help you or harm you, a little bit or a lot. The words that you say can come back and bite you, and you better be careful with them. So Rabbeinu unilaterally comes down on one side of this debate. Which side is it?
The reprimanding side. But I feel like there has to be more to what he's saying, because it just sounds like he's saying it's not going to be good for you, and, like, it doesn't really matter about how you treat other people. It's just, like, you know,
good. Okay, good. So Carrie is bothered by this, right? Carrie's like, okay, it's cute, Hannah, that you think that you read that whole thing to me. I'm hoping you're going to go somewhere else here, because that is not really satisfying to me. Because it sounds, what's the word for what Carrie just described? What's the philosophical word for that?
Utilitarian.
Utilitarian, right? It sounds utilitarian, good, Carrie, right? You're using other people. You know, don't dismiss them. Having nothing to do with them, that would be an inspirational message. Don't dismiss them, because they either can help you or they can hurt you. And don't dismiss your own words, not because they have value or because of any, like, you know, holy kind of concept, but because they also could hurt you. They can come back and bite you. So Carrie's like, I think I'm missing something here. Or maybe Rabbeinu Yonah's missing something. And actually, I don't think Rabbeinu Yonah's missing something. Actually, maybe Chana's missing something in Rabbeinu Yonah, which is possible. But that's what I did, right? I read Rabbeinu Yonah, that's it. That's all he says. And I'm like, all right, that wasn't satisfying. So then I went on to try to find somebody who has the other tone. Okay, and I read Rambam. Listen to what Rambam says. Omar, also very short, but Omar. There's no person that doesn't have a time at which he can either harm you or hurt you, even in a small thing. That's it, that's the Rambam. What side does the Rambam come on? Utilitarian again. Okay, and the warning sign. No one's reading this in an inspirational way. Let's go to Rashi. She'in lecha adam, kal ba'olam. There's no light person in the world. She'in lo sha'a sha'ata tzarich lo l'shum davar v'yipara mimcha. That you might need him, and if you treated him badly, you're going to lose out. Okay, this is like a little bit. This is Rashi gets like a little close to maybe what we wanted to say here. He says davar is not a word, is not words, but a thing, right? There's no thing katan shel chachma. There's no little piece of knowledge, little piece of wisdom. She'en lo makom yavo l'makom l'davar she'tzitz tarech lo im hayisa yodo, that you would need it had you known it. Right? So again, he's not really talking about the value of all things. He's saying, you know, don't dismiss any little piece of wisdom, because there will come a time where you will have wished that you had known it, and you will not know it. And that's going to stink. Okay, so now we have Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rambam. Let's go to Rav Avadya Bar Tanura says this, also very short. Alti bazlachol adam lamar, mayuchal ploni lahazikli. Don't dismiss anybody by saying, how can this person hurt me? Va'alti maflig, and don't dismiss. Marchik, okay, fine. L'chol davar sheish lachush alav. And you should care about all things, or all things that you say, I think it is. Al tomar, instead of saying, rachoku she'in lidog bimenu, or things. You shouldn't say, like, that's not going to happen, that doesn't matter. And not worry about it. You shouldn't not worry about things. You should worry about everything. All right? Fine, so now we've exhausted this. Let's go to Rav Hirsch. Listen, I know that there's a lot of Peirushim, but these are the ones that I have at my fingertips. You're welcome to look up more and let me know what they say. Rav Hirsch, save us, Rav Hirsch. Also, very short. Here's what Rav Hirsch says. One line, two sentences. What does Rav Hirsch say? There's no such person or thing that cannot be of serious harm, or conversely, of great profit to you at some future point. Therefore, it behooves you never to despise any person or anything. Everything, every person could hurt you at a future time, or also, by the way, once we're talking about it, or maybe they can help you. So don't dismiss them, because they might hurt you or help you. So everyone has come out on the side of this being like a warning overtone, tone, undertone, that's a better word, a warning undertone to this Mishnah, not an inspirational undertone to this Mishnah, per se, not teaching us anything about the value of humanity, the value of all things, which is how we all heard it when we hear this Mishnah. That's what we all hear. And so far, we've gone through five. If I had other Peirushim, I would have looked them up as well. I've exhausted my library, except for one, which is going to come in and save us, which I will tell you about, so you're not too mad that this Chabura is about to end after 15 minutes and you're all mad. Don't worry, we will be saved. But strange, isn't it? So, just so we can all have this conversation without being too angsty, we are going to read this Sefer Chochma Umusar and Sifsei Das. We are going to read Sifsei Das by Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz. Yerucham Levavitz was the Mashkiach of the Mir. He was a Talmud of Rav Simcha Zesel Ziv, who was the Alter Mikelm, and also Nassim Tzvi Finkel. He was a Talmud of them, and he was a Rebbe of Rav Volba and a Rebbe of Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Okay, so Rav Yerucham Levavitz, who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, will come and will save us. Okay? He will give us the parish that we are all expecting. So fear not.
Wait, what's his name again?
Rav Yerucham Levavitz. Rav Yerucham. No, that's Rav Yerucham. When people talk about Rav Yerucham, they're talking about Rav Yerucham Levavitz. Again, the Rebbe of our Rebbeim, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, and Rav Volbe, who we have learned. The Talmud of Alter Mikel. Okay? Rav Yerucham Levavitz will read it as we had hoped that somebody would. Okay, we have saved Avia. This is still allowed to be her favorite inspirational Mishnah. But let's discuss first, why not? This is the big question, and I have to tell you guys, I am not sure what the answer is, and I want to know what you think. I have a theory, but it maybe is a weak theory. I'm not sold on my theory, but why is it that everybody else reads this Mishnah in a utilitarian way? Why is everyone else reading this Mishnah in a negative way? When they could read it, because that's how we all heard it, and there's like an opportunity there to like read it in an inspirational musser kind of way, as opposed to like a foreboding, reprimanding, warning kind of way. Why do they all do that? What do you think?
Can I ask the question,
please?
So with Rav Hirsch, at least, I don't know, I'm getting more like what Kairi said in the beginning, like the neutral thing of like, I don't necessarily see, even with Rabbeinu Yonah, it's just, I think that the difference between this and, let's say, other
Prakim that we've been reading is it just doesn't seem like it's adding anything. I don't see it as like warning. It just seems like it's like fact of life. People do good, people do bad. So just so you know, but I don't really see personally, I'm like not getting the question.
Well, it says Al-Tahima Flig, right? The Mishnah starts for Ben-Azai interestingly had the same kind of style in his previous Mishnah, right? He told you to do something and then he told you why, right? Rutz le-mitzvah kala. Uboreach min oh one second Ratzel mitzvah kala kibachamura uboreach min avera, right? Run to a good mitzvah, flee from an avera. Why? Shem mitzvah goveras mitzvah. He gives you the explanation. So here he tells you what to do, and his instructions are a warning. Al dihi baz lechol adam. Maybe they're a warning. You could read it as a warning, or you could read it as an instruction, as a positive instruction. Maybe that's right. That's the clincher. You could read it as a warning. Al tihi baz l'chol adam. You know, don't be careful. Don't dismiss anything. But al tihi maflig l'chol davar, and don't dismiss anything. Why not? She'in l'cha adam, she'in lo sha'av, ve'in l'cha davar, she'in lo makom.
Right.
Or you could read it as like a, again an inspirational message. That's why it's Avia's favorite Mishnah. Not because it's a warning, but because it's like a it's an instruction for life. It's a piece of wisdom that you would find in like an inspirational book, not in like a, you know, letter that your grandmother wrote you about how to like not, you know, I don't know, end up in jail.
So I don't think this is, I really hope this isn't the answer of why everyone reads it like this, but I feel like it makes it much easier to follow if it's like, oh, I'm only looking out for myself versus like looking out for versus like seeing the value in people that you like are just like, hey, whatever, they don't really like, you know, like why am I listening to this person? So like it makes it easier if it's like, oh, okay, like one day, like you never know what's gonna happen to me. But like it just doesn't seem so you know, like hushkuffically making sense to me. But
right. So you're saying like it's more accessible. Listen, it's more practical and it's more accessible. But it seems to be missing, it seems to be missing something that you could get from this Mishnah, right? That is what we all are bothered by. We will be bothered by it at the end of this conversation, and we will learn the Sifte Das, and that will make us all feel like, ah. Right? But right now, what's bothering us is that it seems to be that there's a piece here that you could go to relatively easily, but it's missing. Why? When why aren't people going there? So I think that really between Batsheva and Carrie, like, you know, these are some of the thoughts that I've been having too. Batsheva was sort of flirting with it, but didn't quite go there. But like, it could be that it's just pshat. It could be that that's like the basic pshat without getting ethereal and like abstracting. The pshat is warning you about something. And if it's warning you about something, then you have to explain what's the danger. So they're saying, like, you know, the pshat that you hear could be alti ma buz l'chol adam, alti ma flig l'chol adavar. I'm giving you a warning, and then I'm justifying why I'm giving you the warning. Why shouldn't you? Not in like an ethereal, humanistic kind of way, but like, why should you not dismiss people? Because you better watch out from being dismissive. You dismiss people, they're going to come back and bite you. Right? Again, it still, to us, is missing something, but it could be that that's just
even if you surface take it.
Yeah.
Even if you take it as pshat, though, it's not a Jewish concept.
Which part?
So then what are they telling you to do? I mean, that, like, we don't do things just because, like, they might benefit us later. Like, we're not nice people, so that's what benefit us later.
I mean, I don't know. Like, economic theory of tit for tat is, like, I don't know if that's not a Jewish concept. Right? Like, Chavi, what you're
motivation,
saying.
But, like, it's not a Mishnah. Like,
right. Why is it? Why? Okay, good. So that I think is going to be the question that we're left with is like, you know, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, even Rav Hirsch, right? It's surprising that Rav Hirsch is someone who I would have expected to pick up on what we are saying, right? On what we all feel. It's not what we're saying, what we feel. What we feel is the content of this Mishnah. You know, why didn't Rav Hirsch pick it up? It's a big question. Again, I cannot answer it for you guys. I will not answer it. I want you guys to keep thinking about it, and I want it to haunt you, and I want you to come back and share your thoughts with me and with the group. Right? I don't know. The other thing, like, which is, again, I'm not super happy with it. One second, just backtrack a little bit. What Carrie was saying before also, I think maybe part of it, which is that, like, you know, it the fact that maybe it's just, like, uber practical actually could teach us that Rabbeinu Yonah and Rambam and Rashi and Rav Hirsch, right, and Rav Adra Bar Tanura, their assumptions about the Mishnayos is that they're going to be extremely practical. So if you have to like abstract out some sort of like concept to understand the Mishnah at all, you know, like their assumptions are Mishnayos are extremely practical, right? Maybe challenging what Chavi said a little bit is like, no, like they're okay. If you give a good piece of advice, even if it's like utilitarian economics, like, okay, that is how you should function. Right, but Chavi's question is then like, but why is it a Mishnah? Shkoyach, but why is it a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Okay, I don't know. I cannot answer that question. The only other thought that I had, which I like, is maybe fair and maybe not fair, is that like, you know, we're all humanitarians, right? It's coming from a certain language about people and a language about how people exist in the world and the way that we look at other people that we feel like is MS. But is actually like a philosophy on how to look at people that didn't develop or didn't actually develop in popularity until basically exactly the time that Rav Yerucham was writing. Right, Rav Hirsch in the mid-1800s in Germany, it was like flirting with the surface, and it actually surfaced in the late 1800s and early 1900s and became popular in the like late, early, mid-1900s in America and around the globe, right? And so Sifsei Das, Rav Yerucham, he was much closer to that kind of language about the human being. And the others, like, we can't blame them. That language was not, like, it was just not part of their vernacular. Which, again, I don't really like, because you do see, like, again, Rav Hirsch, let's say, right? You see Rav Hirsch talking in those kinds of terms all over the place. Why he doesn't hear, I don't know. But this is, like, this is the mission that I've encountered that's the most easy to read as just like a general humanitarian principle. But before there were humanitarian principles, how could anyone see it as a humanitarian principle? But we so all, I think, right, very naturally saw it like that, because that's the language that we speak in, and that's the beauty of Pirkei Avos, and that's the beauty of Chazal.
Is that a humanitarian principle though?
What'd you say?
Then what was it? So then don't say we say that it's we're only reading like that because the humanitarian principle exists. So then like, what was it before?
So I don't know. I mean, I think that's Torah Shebal Peh, right? Torah Shebal Peh, which was only written b'di'eved, it was never meant to be written because it was meant to be fluid. So something that Rashi, Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rav Hirsch could all read in a certain way, and then Rav Yerucham could read it in a different way, and the different way applies to us, and in 1,000 years the Jews will be reading it and it'll mean something else to them. Like, that's lechachila in Torah Shebal Peh. That's like the whole point of Torah Shebal Peh. It's supposed to be malleable for the times. It's not supposed to be written.
But I feel like it's still a Torah concept that we value every person and they each have their place. Like, that's not that it might have become popular only recently, but like it's not like it wasn't like the secular world decided that and we were like, oh yeah, that makes sense, like let's add that to Judaism. Like,
right, Carrie, you're saying, like, Han, I don't like your answer because, like, it was there. We know it's there. Like, if it's an MS Dikam concept, we're going to find it in Torah. And we do find it all over in Torah. So why don't they find it here where it seems to be saying that pshat? Okay, I cannot answer that question. I don't know. Okay, we can talk more about it afterwards. I want to at least get you guys a Sif Seda so we all, you know, stop itching. And then we'll go back to discussing that question. And anyone who, you know, time I'm trying to respect can go their merry way. Yeah, okay, ready? Okay, what Rav Yerucham asked this question, sort of, whatever, implicitly asked this question. You know, this Mishnah is warning us against something. What's the name of someone who does what it's warning us against doing? What do we call somebody who does dismiss people and does dismiss things as unimportant? What's the word for that kind of behavior, that kind of person? Hebrew word. I mean, you can give me an English word too, but Hebrew word. Misha loeg livnei adam, someone who mocks people. Misha loeg tami ladvarim lapa'ulo, someone who always mocks things. Be'ach marchik hadvarim she'in laharchikam, and he distances himself from things that he should not be distancing himself from. What do we call a person like that?
Maybe a leitzan.
Good, leitzan. Okay, and here he goes. Okay, we call that a leitz, right? A mocker, a whatever you want to call it. We call it a leitz. That's the name for it. Kishuras inyan leitzanus. What is the root What is the root of Leitzanus, right? What is this warning us against, this Mishnah, basically? It's warning us against some practice of Leitzanus, but it's going to tell us the value of that, okay? Why is that of utmost importance in how we look at the world? Kishoresh inyan Leitzanus, the root of the inyan, of the whatever, of Leitzanus, who? I his bonanus, not paying attention, not meditating on something. His bonus is like really paying, like really thinking about something. Deep thought. Ihi's bonus, no deep thought. Vesimas halev, no like attention, but again, simas halev, no putting your heart into something. Lahakir ma'ala, to try to recognize value. Lahakshiv, to think highly of something. Ularomeim, and to hold something as valuable. Again, kol davar v'davar, all things. Lahakir as hatzorach sheyesh behem, to recognize the need for them. Kiko palal, okay, and etc. And then he's going to go on about that. Okay, so again, the root of leitzanus, the root of what this Mishnah is warning us against, therefore, right, is what? Leitzanus, he says, is not just mocking something. Leitzanus is the incapacity or the refusal to, basically, what you could sum up, right? Ihis bonus v'simas slave. Ihis bonus v'simas slave. The refusal to think deeply about something and put your heart into recognizing the value of something. You refuse to be invested in trying to find value in the people and in the things that are around you. That's what this Mishnah is warning us against, right? And we're all like, yes, that is what this Mishnah is warning us against. Okay? Lahakir starts Turach Sheyesh Bam, to realize that they're needed, the need, the value, the need that they have. Ki ko pal Hashem l'minehu, Hashem made all sorts of things in this world. Ve'in lach adam v'davar, there's no person, there's no thing, but bria she'in lo sha'ato mekomo v'tzarcho. And there's no person or thing that doesn't have its hour and its place and its need, right? This, yes, this is what we've all felt, right? Ve'in inyan ha'etzanis kafi ha'morgolim l'havin she'tzlozes v'lag ba'alma ela he'tzlozes v'lagos v'hala'agos hu amnam pe'ula ha'novas mikoach ha'nishchas ha'lazeh she'leitzanis. Okay? Asher yisodo hu isimas leiv ihi hachshavas dvarim. Okay, that is basically what we read. Again, like he's saying, it's not like a simple thing. Leitzanis is not just like, oh, stam, this person is like being dismissive. Like, no, it's rooted in their incapacity or refusal to find, to invest themselves in finding value in those things that are around them. Okay, skipping a little bit. Ki inin ha'leitzanus hu hefech kol habria. And it's not just stam. This is not just like leitzanus is a bad thing. That's why we have a mission about it. Chavis, why do we have a mission about it? Okay, Sensei Das, he's going to give you the reason. Okay, why do we have a mission about it? Because it's not just stam. Leitzanus is a bad thing. If you're late, that's probably bad. You're probably missing part of the point. No, it's like you are missing the point. Why? Ki inyan ha'leitzanus hu hefech kol habria. Right? That's a pretty intense thing to say. Inyan Halitzanus, right? The concept or the factoid of Leitzanus is the opposite of the intention of creation. Kikol sod habria. This is another intense thing to say. Everyone listen up, perk up your ears. It's bolded in his sefer. Kikol sod habria. The whole purpose, really, the whole secret, the whole purpose of creation, who? Simas leiv, is paying attention. Litein yakar erech v'chavod le'inyanim. Ularomamam ulanasam. Two. Simas leiv, again, invest yourself, put your heart into, pay attention, so to speak, but that's like not a good translation. Simas leiv, putting your heart into, investing yourself. Litein yakar erech v'kavod le'inyanim. To recognize, again, the value and the worthiness of things around you. Inyanim, all sorts of things, all the things that God created. L'romamam u'lanasam, and hold them of value, right? Hold them up as substantive. Umi she'eino sam leiv u'machshiv dvarim hareyu yotzei mi'olamo. Right? More than just chaval, to a person who refuses to find the value in the people and the things that are around him. Because really, God created all sorts of people, all sorts of things, gave each of them their hour, their place, their need. And part of our mission in this world, part of our responsibility in this world, is to invest ourselves in finding value in the things that are around us. And this Mishnah, again, you can give Carrie's reasoning for it, right? Why it's phrased in the negative. But the Mishnah is warning us against an attitude in which we remove ourselves from the value of the world by refusing to invest ourselves in recognizing the value of those things around us. Right? That's a much more inspirational message. Okay? And just to also round it out, in terms of our progress through, so far, Perek Dalet, and then we can go back to our debate on the questions if we want to, or we could say goodnight. First Mishnah talked about our self-concept being, right, this is the so what point, so what factor, so what factor, so where are we going here? What's the, again, a summary or slash like a broader perspective on the message that we're talking about, right? The first Mishnah talked about our self-concept being active, right? You are not rich because you have a lot in the bank. You are rich because you feel happy with what you have, right? So our self-concept is fluid and active. The second Mishnah was that we are charged to be ourselves, pursue, actively pursue goodness and flee from evil in the world around us. And this requires us a active attitude towards the world, right? Both that we assume that even though on the surface we cannot detect at times the value of people or the value of things, we assume two things. The first is that those things are growing and developing, and maybe that will change. And that even, right, so to speak, even, right, that Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rambam, and Rav Hirsch, and Rav Arbar Genora, they're also that, right? You, right now, what you see, the surface of what you see, is not all you get. And there could be something down the line that will surprise you, in the positive way. You thought this thing was meaningless? It's not meaningless. You thought this person was contemptible? Well, they could have helped you or harmed you. They had an impact on your life. And again, for sure, according to Sifsei Das, right? People and things have their place and they are constantly developing. The world, you should see the world around you as developing, and your attitude towards them also is always active. Your attitude is active. You are always actively trying not to see just the surface of the world around you. You are always actively trying to see must leave, invest yourself in finding the value in the world and in things and in people that are around you. Your attitude towards the world is active in finding value and meaning and substance.